Second Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack. But his long suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We need God. We need him. The song says we need thee every hour. We need him every second. We need him every moment, every step, every decision. We need God. We need to be diligently seeking him. We talked this morning in Sunday school about going after God with our whole heart. God doesn't deserve our leftovers. He was talking to Israel in the Old Testament about the first fruits, and they were supposed to give their best unto God. God gave his best for us. Jesus Christ, his word in flesh, came and died for us on Calvary. And he deserves nothing less than us to seek after him with the whole heart. He shouldn't be an addition to our carnal desires. He should be our desire. And we had mentioned this in Sunday school. I'm going to go back through it because some folks weren't here. But there have been men in the past and women in the past that sought after God with their whole heart. And that's why he was able to use them. That's why he was willing to use them the way he used them. And we talk about Charles Haddon Spurgeon and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Billy Graham and all these folks and the Fanny Crosby. Different folks that we look at and see how God had his hand on their life and how he guided their thoughts and guided their hearts. And I'll tell you, if there's anything outside of the Word of God that he ever inspired, I'm telling you, that hymnal, some of them songs come real close. But he did. He had his hand on these people. Fanny Crosby, blind, couldn't see from a young child. The doctors had done some things, because they were practicing, by the way, and they'd done some things, made a mistake, and she was blinded from being a young child. And she had better vision than 99% of the folks that are blood-bought born again in 2021. Amen. She could see things eternally. She could see things in a spiritual way that most of God's people just can't see things. And as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3 today, we're going to realize that, I hope and pray that we realize that some men like, we'll go back to Billy Sunday again, how God had used him and used him in a mighty way, and how Billy Sunday had obviously sought God with his whole heart, because he made a major difference. God used him to make some major differences in this world, and I believe that he used Billy Sunday to give this country another chance and a stern warning. And you know, we're not going to go down the same road, as far down the road as we did on the alcohol, but God, through the preaching of Billy Sunday and through the preaching of his word, had given this country a little bit of a reprieve, had given this country a little bit of an opportunity to see what things could be like if we saw him again. You know, these barkeepers and stuff that were getting saved and closing down these establishments, and God was giving, really what he was doing, he was giving the family unit another chance. He really was. And you want to look at, this is the masterpiece of God, his word. His word incarnate, and his plan to come and save us on Calvary, and to lay his life down, take it up again, that's a masterpiece. Only God could do that. But the devil has something that's pretty close to a masterpiece, and that's his attack on the family. And we need God. We need God. And you say, well, my kids are grown. This, that, and the other. Well, you need God so you can learn how to pray for other people. Amen. God has afforded some of us opportunities to invest more time in prayer. I'll be honest with you, I've got more time to pray than when I was 20. I needed it more probably when I was 20, amen. Jokingly, I speak as a man, Paul says, but we need prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray for each other. And some of us have more time now. We're just not allocating the time properly. But we need God. I want to talk, by the grace of God, today for just a little while about some things we need. We read down through 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verses 1 and 2. We'll look at this again. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. One thing we need to be stirred up. We need to be stirred up. We need to not be complacent. We need to not get used to the same old things. I believe the Lord lays it on our hearts oftentimes, and you know, we come to Sunday school, sometimes we sing, sometimes we don't. We come to the church service, sometimes we do things a little differently as the Lord wills. Amen. We don't need to get in a rut. We don't need to just be going through the motions. We don't need to become people of tradition. Amen. We need to be people of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be stirred up. We need to remember some things. When you look around and you look at this crazy world and everything that's going on, I mean, this place is a mess. We talked earlier about being a nut house. It is a nut house. It's a junkyard. It's an insane asylum. This place is spiraling out of control because nobody wants God. You say, well, the lost people don't want God. The college professors don't want God. Most born-again believers don't want God. They want enough of God to get to heaven, but that's all they really want. They really want to get their fingernails grown out to where they're good and sharp, where they can get on the things of this world and not let go, get a death grip on the things for the flesh, and get used to going through the motions. And I go to work for this, and on Saturdays I fish, and on Wednesdays I do this, and on Thursdays I do that, and just get into some kind of a traditional rut. But I go to church every Sunday. I'm faithful to show up, but do you really show up? Amen. We talked about this in Sunday school, about the church being a refuge. And good night, if it was ever a refuge, today, this is a refuge. There's nowhere you can go and be around people that love the Lord besides church, unless it's your own home. And it should be your own home. I'm not saying stay home and watch Joel's thing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying stay home and tune into some TV preacher. I'm saying when you get home, it ought to be a place that the peace and joy of God can refill you. Amen. It ought to be a place where you can sit down with God and you can say, it's me and you, Lord. I've had a Job day. Amen. I've had a Job day. I don't want that day to destroy me. I don't want it to mess up my tomorrow. I don't want to be dwelling on yesterday. I don't want to be caught in today. I want me and you to get along, Lord. I want you to work on me. And when I leave tomorrow, I want to be better. Amen. That's what we need. We need to be stirred up. But when you're looking around and you're looking at, oh, woe is me. What are we going to do? Where's this country headed? We need to be stirred up in remembrance. He says, we need to remember what God has done. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the worst thing that's ever going to happen to you is you're going to draw your last breath and go to heaven. That's it. What else can the devil do? Look what he did to Job, and look what God did for Job. But God did it for his honor and his glory. Amen. I mean, we're going to heaven. Look what he has done. That ought to stir you up. I mean, sometimes, honestly, don't we come in here and we sing, oh, well, I love you. Or we'll sing, victory in our minds and our eyes and our will and smile and our hearts, like, I've got so many things going wrong right now. Amen. And we really don't. And other times we come in and just blow. And God shows up and he puts his hand on things and breathes on things. It's just a different thing. But you know what would help us? If we had that place of refuge at home. We could be regenerated at home. So I just don't get that much out of church sometimes. How much are we putting in church? Honestly. We've already talked about it. I'm already convicted. Turn your collar around. Let's be honest with each other. We don't pray as often as we ought to. I have to. Let's be honest. I have to. Sometimes I'm not in the mood to. Amen. But we need to. You know, when Friday night gets here or Saturday night gets here and I got three different messages on my mind and I don't know which one the Lord wants and I've got nothing final, Saturday at 10:58, and I still don't know exactly what the Lord wants, I got to pray. So do you want to? Oh, no, sometimes I just have to. Amen. But sometimes, if things are going the way God wants, I'm praying all week long. Sometimes it still gets to Saturday night and it's the same thing. Amen. Y'all the same way. With why? We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for our church services. We need to be praying for Vacation Bible School. Praying for these little kids that are downstairs. Praying for the Sunday school teachers. Praying for the Sunday, not just the kids' Sunday school teachers, but the kids' Sunday church teachers. All that stuff. They need to be praying for. We need to be praying for each other. Can see off here, by the way. Praise the Lord. Praying for us. We're praying for you all the time. Praying for each other. Remember what God's done for you. It'll stir you up. And here we go. I mean, think about this. What happened here? Somebody's being funny. Look at this. It drives you nuts. It drives you nuts. Don't change it. I'll tell you what. Let's just do that. I mean, think about this. I don't care about the glass so much. I'm glad we have it because it keeps the cold air in, the hot air out, hot air in cold. Look what God's done. That light coming through the window. God made that. Isn't that something? Oh, woe is me. What are we going to do? That's better. I'm watching y'all now. You'd be flipping them things white and purple. But look what God's done. He saved your soul. He created everything that you're looking at out there. I mean, you look, I don't know what is going on. Is God just being really good to us lately? I've never seen the likes of the sunsets and things we've been having lately. I haven't seen anything. I used to love that stuff when I was a kid, but I've never seen anything like what's been going on lately. I think he's coming back soon. I think the stage is set. I think he's doing it with his own creation. I think he's getting people, look at this. Look at the beauty of my creation. Because my son's coming back. I really do. I've never seen anything like what we've been seeing the last couple, maybe year. Some amazing things. That stirs me up. Look what he's done. Look what he is doing. There are people that God used this church to get the message of salvation to them. They're on their way to heaven now. And he's done it in the last year when everything was going crazy. Look what he has done. Look what he is doing. I'm expecting something great to happen in DBS, whether it's 4 kids or 20. I'm expecting that because I've been watching him do some miraculous things. Amen? And, you know, if the kids that always show up, and nobody else shows up, I'm not trying to say it's going to happen. I don't believe that. But if that's what happens, we are investing in people that if God doesn't call us out of here together, they're going to be investing in other people's eternities they have to work on. It's not just about souls. It's about investing and continually investing in these little kids once they get saved. And these adults when they get saved. I was able to lead a guy to the Lord in his kitchen here last year, and he'd come to church for several weeks. He liked it here until his girlfriend got him to go to another church, and I don't know if he's in church or not, but we got to invest in him after salvation. I love it when people bow their head and trust Christ. But I love it when they show up to some church afterwards and try to follow Christ. Amen? Not only do you believe it's stuck, but you have hope for them. And that's what it's about. It's not just about them going to heaven. It's about their walk afterwards. God's got the greatest pyramid scheme ever. It's not a scheme, but that's the way he does it. He builds and builds and builds on this thing. And everybody invests, and then everybody's profiting. But it's all the Lord. Think about what he's done. Think about what he isn't doing. And think about what he will do. I mean, first of all, he's going to call us out of here one day. That's the easy one. We know that's going to happen. I hope it's soon. Today would work. Before lunch, even. I don't care. I'm Baptist, but I'll go before lunch. I don't care. I'll go with a piece of chicken in my hand. Don't care. Some of y'all are looking like, I'm going to gain some weight so I can go right after you so I can eat your chicken. Right? Amen. That's why I'm trying to lose weight so I can go with the first grab. I'll be the one to fly right out of here. But he is going to call us out of here. Think what else he's going to do. I'm not just talking about eternity. You can go home today and you can cry out to God and he'll hear you. And if you're right with God, he is going to hear you. And like we talked about in the Sunday school about prayer, he will answer. He will answer. Sometimes we don't like the answer. Sometimes we don't understand the answer. Sometimes we don't know when the answer is coming, but he'll answer. If you're in his will and you're calling out to him and you want something to glorify him, I'll tell you, it's going to go in the right way. But you can pray to God. He will hear you. He will answer your prayer. Think about that. I guess you'd call it automotively challenged most of my life. All my cars are... I learned how to work on cars because I drive stuff that everybody else is through with usually. They're like, honestly, if you just take it, we'll pay. But I've done that. And I enjoy working on cars. But I call Advanced Auto Parts or someplace like that. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for an answer. I'm looking for somebody's got something to fix my problem. Amen? So I need ball joints. I don't want that junk Chinese TRW stuff. I want the move stuff. The problem solved. Amen? I want the stuff that's better than the factory. We got it. Amen? I called. They heard me. They answered. Amen? I don't, my code reader doesn't. I got a code reader now, so I have to call. But I used to call and say, hey, I'm bringing this thing in. You read the code. I read the code. I got an answer. And the answer is it's one of these 74 things. Amen? So if you just buy all 74 of these things and start with the most expensive one, eventually, and you work your way down, you're going to probably end up the Ford dealer anyway. So that's just the way it goes. But we can get a hold of the Creator. Amen? And he will hear and he will answer. And boy, I tell you what, if you weren't here in Sunday school, we're going to have to go back through this. Hang on, bear with me. He told Israel, when they come through that Babylonian captivity, they would call out to him, he would hear them, hearken to them, when they saw him with their whole heart. There comes a time when you're seeking God, and you may not hear him, you may not listen. But if you get to where you're seeking him with your whole heart, said to him, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? Why are you wanting what you're asking? Amen. Is it just so your life will be easier? Or are you actually after Him? You know, when you're actually after Him, it's whatever you want, Lord. Here am I, send me. No matter what you're going to take me through, no matter what you're going to let me go through, no matter what, Lord, I just want you. Paul said that I may know Him in the power of the resurrection and fellowship of His suffering. You know how we get to know Him? The power of the resurrection, we get saved. And the fellowship of His sufferings. We go through some things and learn how to die to self and live for Him. We learn how to say, you know, Lord, I don't want my heart to be on the thing of this world anymore. I want to give You my heart. Think about that. What He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. One more part of that will do. He will take your life, even if it's a mess. If you just give it to Him, He's the Father, you're the clay, right? And He'll turn that thing into a miracle. He'll turn that thing into a miracle. He can take your life, no matter what your past or present may be like, if you just seek Him, seek after Him with your whole heart, He can take your life and take you to a point where you draw your last breath knowing that you lived it for Him. Instead of living it for the devil or the flesh. Most people live for the flesh. There are some people out there who live for the devil. They'll tell you that. But most people just live for the flesh. And sometimes we need to be stirred up. 3 and 4, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. We need to be stirred up. We need to expect opposition. I am not surprised by a whole lot anymore when it comes to witnessing people. I'm surprised sometimes. I'm more surprised when people listen anymore, but I'm not surprised at crazy stuff anymore. Very much. Very often. I'm really surprised at the times I don't get opposition when I expect it. The fellow I was talking to last night, one of the fellow's names was Yusef. Anybody want to take a guess what kind of name that is? Italian? Anybody got Italian? No. His mom's American, his dad's Iranian, his dad's a Muslim. Yusef, he was listening to the radio and waxing the car. Started talking about salvation. He said, hang on a minute, I'm going to turn this music off. Yusef. Turns the music off. Go through the plan of salvation. Yusef lost. Brother Jerry said, lost his hope and go. Right? Lost the bat flying in backwards. Amen. You know what Yusef said? I'm glad that you're out there telling people about Christ. Lost man. I said, I'm not just telling you about Christ. I'm telling you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Went back through the plan of salvation. I said, you need to take care of that. I said, you have to do it now. If you don't get through or whatever, you read that track. You need to take care of it. He said, where's your church at? I said, well, it's over in Eden. You might drop in a visit sometime. I said, trust the Lord and I'll see you again. That's surprising. See, we have these preconceived notions and ideas that this person's going to react that way and that person's going to react this way. And, hey, I do expect opposition. I expect everybody to spit and cuss anymore. I really do. I'm just not surprised by it. But I am surprised at the reception that the Word of God is getting in 2021, even as crazy as the world's gone. You know what people are doing? They're not trusting the Pope anymore. They're not trusting their government. They're not trusting in the things of this world. You know what they're looking for? Hope. They're finally saying, you know what? I don't know what's going on. Give me hope. Most of the opposition we fight is us. Because we don't want to talk to Yusef. We want to talk to Samuel. Amen. We don't want to talk to Malik. We want to talk to James. And by the way, the telemarketers are all James, no matter where they're from. They don't, my name is James from that. But we want to talk to somebody that we're familiar with, that we we can relate to, that we don't believe is going to be an opposition to us, somebody that's going to be easy to deal with. And you know what? None of us are easy to deal with the Lord half the time. I expect a little opposition. I just don't want it from me anymore. Right? We need to be stirred up. We need to expect opposition. 5 through 10, it goes down through. It talks about the world being overflowed with water and perishing. And talks about the heaven and the earth reserved for judgment. And we need to realize that God will judge sin. People all around us are going to die and burn in hell forever if somebody don't tell them about Jesus Christ. That goes for Samuel. That goes for James. That goes for Malik. That goes for Yusuf. God will judge sin. And your sin. Say, well, I'm saved. Oh, I know you're saved if you trust in Christ. But you're not going to get away with sin in here. You need to get it under the blood of Christ and go on. We need to be stirred up. We need to expect opposition. We need to remember that God will judge sin. Verse number 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We need to watch our step. We need to watch our step. He's going down through here and he's saying, hey, look, I'm going to tell you these things again. You need to be stirred up. You're going to get some opposition. God is also the judge. Knowing these things, what manner of person ought you to be? You need to watch your step. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. It's all about him. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Keep your finger in 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse, y'all in Philippians 3? Look at 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We need to watch our step. We need to ask God to guide our step because we can put no confidence in the flesh. The Bible says in Psalm 18:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. What does it really mean? I mean, we have all kinds of words, but what does it really mean to trust the Lord? Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Let's look at verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What's it mean to trust him? Trust him for strength. For timing. Just wait on the Lord. Look at Isaiah 40. I mean, we read these verses. Some of us have memorized some of these verses. Most of y'all have heard this. You probably all heard it. Some of y'all have probably read it out loud, probably even memorized it when you was a kid, some of you. Very, very popular verse. Verses, Isaiah 40. Did I say Isaiah 40? Let's start in 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Good stuff. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I mean, almost the whole world has heard or knows of that verse 31. But look at the promises through there. He promises to keep you in. Don't quit and don't run out ahead of God. Amen. That's what it means to trust the Lord. Don't quit. That's the hard one right there. Sometimes I just want to quit. Let's be honest. Like, I've had it. Amen? Don't quit. And don't let it have the Lord. Wait on Him. Wait on His guidance. That's not a young man thing, by the way. Young men, you know what they want to do? I'm looking at that. I feel bad for you, young men, because there's only a few of you, so I don't have to look at you. But look at some of your hearts. No, but young men, they forge forward. Forge forward. And God spends a lot of His efforts on us, teaching us how to slow down. And how to wait. Pulling us out of ditches that we got in because we went out ahead of God. Like, kind of like that salt truck that you got to get around. You know, the one where it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night, you just absolutely have to be home by 11:05, and you got a 10-minute drive ahead of you. You know, 60-mile-an-hour zone, and you're running. Oh, I can't believe you're running 40 in a salt truck. And then you go out around, even off in the ditch. There's a few people that hang on behind you. They actually beat the other people home because they don't end up in the ditch. That's the same thing with the Lord. I mean, we wait on Him. We don't need to get out in front of Him. We need to be praying. There are some things we know God's will on. Amen. We know God's will. He wants you to be saved if you're lost. He wants you to witness if you're saved. He wants you to be in church. He wants you to pray. He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to be a better person. He wants you to seek Him with your heart. Those are givens, right? We'll just consider those givens. But every aspect of your life should be lined up according to God's will. It should be. Let me give you some help if you're under 50. Save you a lot of trouble. Start today. Asking God what He wants for every aspect of your life. And if He wants something different than what you're doing, even if worldly speaking you think you're doing all right, go with God. Amen. You know, a life without God is not worth all, what they say, all the tea and shine. Not worth it. It's not worth it. You can have everything, every single thing your heart could desire, if it's desiring the wrong things of this world, you can have everything and waste your entire life and never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. Never have peace. Never have joy. Never have rest. And that's the story of this world, isn't it? No rest. Everybody's so busy and so important. They're too important for God. Amen. People have become so important in their own mind. They're too important for God. How many times have you heard, well, Sunday's my day? I work 6 days a week, Sunday's my day. Enjoy your day. But you're going to be miserable if you don't get up. Reevaluate your life and ask God to show you where you're wrong, to encourage you where you're right, and go forward every step of the way with Him. Wait on Him. God is not distraught trying to figure out what to do with your life. If you are, you're alone, amen? Because God's not. He knows exactly what to do with your life. He'll show you every single step of the way if you just wait on Him. See, we get the idea that trusting God is just going, well, I'm just going to go like crazy until I get in a wreck here. And then I know God's going to pull me out. But what about when He decides not to? You're still in a mess. How about not getting in the mess by following God? Amen? That's what trusting the Lord really is. Trusting the Lord with all thine heart, lead not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. I think you got to have a good diet. I was a chiropractor. I'd give people some nutrition advice over the years. I know if you eat trash, it's bad for you. I understand that. So I'm not talking about whether you eat Cheerios or Fruit Loops. I'm talking about steps forward in your life. And believe me, I'm not making light of taking care of your physical feeding, because you need to be in decent shape to do what God's called you to do. Really. But your job, your car, your house, your financial decisions, oh my goodness, your husband or wife, these things need to be guided by God. Amen. You go out and buy a Toyota Corolla and God wanted you to have a Mercury, you're probably going to be all right. If you get the wrong husband or wife, now, what happens when she wants to serve the Lord and he doesn't? What happens when he's called to the mission field and she ain't going? Amen. I'm telling you, trust God. Ask him. He'll hear you and he'll give you an answer. So you just don't understand. Oh, you might be ugly. But he's got somebody for you. And he found somebody for me. He's a worker of miracles, amen. Y'all are laughing a little bit too hard at that one. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you guys again. I'm just saying. Now, I don't know where to go with it. I'm just, trust the Lord, amen. We need to be stirred up. We need to expect opposition. We need to remember that God is also a judge. We need to watch our step. Back in 2 Peter chapter 3, 12 through 14, looking forward and tasting unto the day, the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We need to watch our step, and we need to guard our heart. Why are we back at the heart? Because that's where the problem is. You can be on the right path. And let me tell you what happens when you're on the right path. You're going to attract the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. You can be on the right path for God, and you're still not. I mean, as a matter of fact, you're more likely to be attacked. Through your eyes, through your ears. The devil's after your heart. I mean, God wants your heart. He wants your whole heart. Even if the devil doesn't get your whole heart, if he gets a little piece of it, then God can't have the whole thing. Amen. You know what was wrong with Israel? Why they ended up in Babylonian captivity? They wouldn't give God their heart. All they give some to Baal and some here and some there. They just picked up a little, you know, a heathen god here and god there. Just any kind of old pagan god they could get a hold of. And they'd give them a little bit. And, you know, mix a little bit of the real God in with it. God couldn't have their whole heart anymore. Our heart doesn't go out to the, you know, some people actually do, but our hearts don't go out to a bunch of little statues and stuff like that. Sometimes our hearts focus on us so much that we won't give it to him. Amen. You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your heart. Create me a clean heart, Lord. I want a clean heart. I want to focus my heart on you, and I want you to guide my steps. And when I die, when I draw my last breath, I want you to be happy. And you know what? When you draw your last breath and he's happy with you, other people are going to be blessed by it. So, well, they just don't like the fact that I go to church all the time and I talk about Jesus all the time. I had a preacher, a friend of mine, that quit. His wife divorced him because she got tired of hearing about Jesus. Amen. She got tired of the Bible all the time. Too much. Too much. She quit. She just jumped out and wanted a divorce. Too much. She couldn't give her whole heart to God. He was desperately trying to give his whole heart to God. Amen. Be careful. Guard your heart. Look at verse 15. An account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We need to get wisdom from the Lord. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. We need wisdom on how to live. Amen. How to love. And what to long for. What to long for. the Lord's really laid on my heart lately. I feel so bad because I've got friends, people that I grew up with that I called friends then that I wouldn't call friends now. They never were really friends in a biblical sense. They weren't good friends. But it just bothers me that there are a lot, I mean, probably 100 people that I haven't been able to witness to, that I haven't been in the town. I haven't made the effort, to be honest with you. Go back to visit mom or grandma or whatever. There are people that never come to my mind. But they've been coming to my mind like crazy. I mean, the Lord's just really been laying people on my mind, on my heart. And my mom called me the other day and told me this lady died. And it was one of my acquaintances. As a teenager's mom. She was a nice lady. She was good to me. I used to live with her for a little while after my folks got divorced. She was kind of like a mom to me for a while. If my mom's listening, she's like mom B. Not even really close to a regular mom. She's kind of like mom. But she meant something to me. She was a blessing to me. She helped me. She passed away. And I had made a decision a long time ago that her son and I were going to part ways because he was going a direction I wasn't interested in going. He was further down the road than I ever thought I'd want to go. But I wanted to call him and tell him, you know, sorry about your mom. Talk to him about the Lord. I couldn't find a valid phone number. So I finally found him. He was doing 7 years in prison. Because he went down further down that road than I wanted to go. We separated. That breaks my heart. Because here's somebody, now look, I understand what a real friend is now, but here's somebody I used to call my friend. That we were like brothers. They had the funeral of another person that I was like a brother with, I hunted fish with, about a year and a half ago. Went down the wrong road. Breaks my heart. I just, Joshua and I are looking for him. Vehicle, truck, car, we're not sure. Wheels and an engine, right? Don't even have to have windshields, just wheels and an engine. They can push it uphill, flat down. But we're looking and we're on Facebook Marketplace a little bit, and I opened that thing up, and people you may know, there's a guy I went to high school with, hadn't thought about him in 40 years, 35 years. And I thought, well, I wonder what he's up to. Because honestly, I wasn't that good friends with him or anything. I just knew him. We were acquaintances, grew up together a little bit in school, you know. I get on there, and every single thing on his post were about fishing and booze. Everything. It breaks my heart. Could have been me. Could have been a lot of them. 50-some years old, and the best thing you got to talk about is Budweiser and crap. That's sad. Not one mention of the Lord. Through a couple, 3 years with the Pope. Not one mention. I'm just glad that's not me. I don't know why. I'm thankful it's not. Breaks my heart. We need to know from God. We need wisdom on how to live, how to love, and what to long for. If you're longing for the wrong things, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Amen. 16 and 17, he's talking about the error of the wicked and the scriptures. And how they wrest the scriptures. They wrestle with them, trying to figure them out, and they don't understand them, and it's to their own destruction. And he warns folks to not lose their steadfastness by going the wrong direction and getting confused on things. We need to be grounded in truth. I'm not just talking about coming and listening to Bible studies and coming to preach. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, reading your own Bible, and asking God to speak to you personally. You know. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus Christ is truth. To be grounded in truth, you need to be grounded in Christ. Not just saved, but have that relationship. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We need to be stirred up. We need to expect opposition. We need to remember God is a judge also. We need to watch our steps. We need to guard our hearts. We need to get wisdom from God. We need to be grounded in the truth. We need to be growing in grace. You notice he says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because those two cannot be separated. The only way you're going to grow in grace is by growing closer to Christ. It's His grace, His undeserved favor that we got up this morning. Amen. It's by His grace that we meet here today. It's by His grace that we have a word. His word. It's by grace that we can sing praises to Him. We have eyes to see the hymnals. We have voices to lift up, to brag on Him. It's His grace. It's all His grace. If you grow in grace, you're going to have more grace for each other. Right? You talk about somebody that had grace. Remember Peter? Peter was all messed up. Peter was, when he was with the Gentiles, he was like the Gentiles. When he was with the Jews, he was going back with the Jews and messing around with the law and talking to his, you know, just wanted to fit in. Paul comes to him, and Paul rips him up one side, down the other, and says, "You need to get right. Why are you acting this way around this crowd, and this way around that crowd, and you're messing people up? You need to get right." Peter gets right. You know what Peter says? Peter grew in grace. You know what he says? Look back in verse 15. "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." He calls Paul his beloved brother. You know why? He didn't just say it because it's the right thing to say. Paul helped him get right. Paul got him on course. Paul was a blessing to him. Paul had grown in grace before Peter had. And now Peter had grown in grace to the point where he could realize that God had used Paul to be such a blessing to him. He's telling everybody else, "Our beloved brother Paul." Amen? You've got some beloved brothers and sisters in here that have been a blessing to you. Amen? Grow in grace. You can be a blessing to each other. Because it's about Jesus Christ. And if we're going to go forward to glorify Him, we're all going to have to grow in grace. Amen? And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a few things we need in these last days. You want to find out where you're at? Are you stagnant? Are you just stuck in one spot? Are you doing okay? You making it? Or are you growing in grace? You know, it's easy to come up with when somebody cuts you off in traffic. But how about the person that you've been praying with, praying for, serving God with, when they're having a bad day, and you're having a bad day, and you're not quite where you need to be, and they're not quite where they need to be? That's where you find out where you're really at. Growing in grace. If somebody did the same thing today to you that happened to you that just about worked your nerve to its last end 10 years ago, how would you deal with it today? Have you grown in grace? You're always growing.